I'm assuming the rest of these are for me. We'll just put it right here. We're going to ask our ushers to come forward as they bring pew pads. They'll bring them down the center aisle. We ask that you would fill those out. And then after you've signed them, just pass them on down the rows. What we do is it's a way to help us keep track of attendance, but then also throughout the week we read the names that are on these pew pads and we pray for you during the week for whatever God has in store for you at work, at home, with your relationships. So that's what we do with the pew pads. And we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer since we've already dismissed our kids. We do want to be in prayer for some of those from our congregation who are dealing with some health issues. We think of Sarah Brenneman. We think of Shirley as she's dealing with her heart situation, and Carol Kunze as he's at Riverside, and a number of people that you're probably aware of who struggle with serious health concerns. And we also want to pray this morning about how we as followers of Jesus respond to situations outside of our control. It'll kind of go along with how we listen, but we also want to pray. So we think of politics, we think of social unrest. How do we, as followers of Jesus, respond? So let's have a word of prayer for that as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to celebrate kids and the people who give of their time, give of their energy, to just love on them and to tell them who you are, making it so real in a practical sense and on their level. Father, we think of the people from our church family who are struggling with health concerns from anywhere from mild to severe cases, and we pray for your peace. We pray for your healing hand to be upon their bodies, upon their minds, and their attitudes. We think of the doctors and the nurses, the practitioners who are giving them care. We pray for your wisdom in those situations. Father, for the finances that we will be receiving this morning, we pray and we ask that every cent, every dollar, whatever amount goes to expand your kingdom, funding the ministries of this church, proclaiming who you are as Lord and Savior as we continue to be and make active followers, disciples of you. Lord, as we've been observing through news and through people sharing with us, how do we respond to circumstances and situations outside of our control? Would you give us the insight? Would your Spirit guide us and direct us on when to speak, when to stay silent, and when, every moment, seeking your will? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're kind of doing a little reminiscing this morning with our elder of education, Greg, showing that picture from years ago when we did, it was a CYC missions night, and we were all supposed to dress up in different ethnic cultures. I was an English boy with my three-pointed hat, and Dan Harvey, I think he wore some kind of a Japanese hat. I mean, he had the whole kit and caboodle there. But something also that I remember from years ago that we did, we did it at least once. And when I say we, I mean Gilead Friends Church, we did it at least once. And I asked the elders if we could reignite it for this year. And they were like, sure, whatever, go ahead. Labor Day weekend is coming up. Labor Day is a Monday. So the Sunday before Labor Day, this is what I want all of you to do. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? Wear what you wear to work. If you have a uniform, if you have an outfit that you wear to work, wear it here the Sunday before Labor Day. Now, some of you may be like, I wear a tie and a shirt. Sweet! Wear that. But we want to have a celebration of what you do. and how God is implementing and using you in your workplace. If you no longer work, if you're retired, but you can still fit in your uniform, wear it. If you can't fit in your uniform anymore, just bring a sign, "I used to be," and we'll just go with that. But can we all do that next for the Labor Day Sunday, that you all wear what you wear to work? I think it'll be fun. It'll be good to see what everybody does. We're continuing this series of When Necessary, sharing our faith, talking about Jesus, talking about our church in a world that has become vastly different in some ways than the world in which our grandparents lived and our parents lived, and even us as kids, how things have changed. And yet, even though I say these things, that the world has changed, even now I'm aware that as much as things change, things stay the same around the world around us. But how we share our faith, the techniques and the encouragement, the way in which we do that has changed, because how people receive information has changed a great deal. We began this series looking at noticing people, the art of noticing people, going outside of simply there are people around us. Even right now, as you come into church and you leave and you're moving about, you notice that there are blobs of people around you. But noticing means you actually take the time. It's an actual sacrifice. You are sacrificing your time and your energy to notice people. No longer are they simply a blob of arms and legs, but they become a face. You recognize them as a person. The art of noticing, long enough to ask the question, what is their story? I wonder what is going on in their lives. Last week we looked at then the next step after you notice someone is you pray for them. God, where are you at work in their life? Because when it comes to sharing your faith, talking about your church, talking about Jesus, we may think we have all the right answers. We may think that, man, we've got this down pat. I have it memorized point by point, kind of like those telemarketers. If they give this response, I know I can skip right down to this point and I can get them. But we talked about how it should start with asking God. You know what's going on better than I do. So let me start with you, the creator of life. Where are you at work? And what does this person need right now? And where do I fit in this? How can I be a part of your activity of redeeming the world? Because that's what God is doing. He is intimately involved in redeeming the world. And we get to be a part of it. And so today, that brings us to the art of listening. We've noticed the person. We've prayed for them. And now we begin the conversation. But what we need to do first and foremost is listen. Stand with me as we read from the book of James, the brother of Jesus. It's near the back of your Bible. He wrote a letter, and the words that we're going to read, James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, the words are on the screen behind me if you want to follow along. James, brother of Jesus, said this. It could be some people's life verses. "My dear brothers and sisters," James writes, "take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." How many of us this morning say, I need this, I need to be reminded of this, I need to absorb these words today? We need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And then he continues, "Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Let's pray. Father, as we explore the art of listening, how we can incorporate that into our day-to-day, our natural goings and comings, would you reveal to us where we need to listen quicker? Where we may not, we may not, we shouldn't speak so quickly, and where our tempers should grow a little longer. Father, would you reveal to us where our anger does not produce the righteousness that you desire. As we listen to your words this morning, reveal these things to us and encourage us as we go about our day. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. When it comes to sharing our faith, it's as true there as it is with how we respond to circumstances around us. If you were part of a life group this past session, we were talking about missionaries. And it was explained that everyone who is a follower of Jesus is a missionary. If you can remember, we talked about what it was like for a missionary, what they should do in this new culture, how they should act and behave and interact with people in their new environments. And then they kind of threw the gauntlet down by saying, by the way, all of you who follow Jesus and you talk about missionaries in a far-off way, that should be your attitude as well, because you are in a foreign country, a foreign community as a follower of Jesus. So every relationship a follower of Jesus is in, every workplace that you go, every neighborhood that you live in, your dorm, your classroom, all of those places, they are to be seen as the mission field. And the question we should ask ourselves as we enter in is, how would a missionary behave? How would a missionary work in these relationships, in this workplace, at this school, in this dorm room? There's an example of the earliest Jesuit missionaries. When they would enter into a new territory to proclaim Jesus as Savior of the world, they would go and they would just listen. They would just be for the first 6 months. They wouldn't speak. They wouldn't try to influence verbally. They would just listen. And the reason they would do this for the first 6 months when they would go into a new territory is because they wanted to understand the people first. Who is it that God has sent us to speak? Let's get into their communities. Let's hear what they wrestle with, what they're concerned about, their fears, their joys. Let's learn a little bit more about them before we presume to speak into their lives. How is God at work in this place with these people? It kind of brings to mind, remember, as we pray for people, God, where are you at work? Because already we have to live under the assumption that God has already been at work in these people's lives, in your workplace and at your school. God is already at work, we have to assume, before we even get there. So we take this concept of going and listening, observing. I wonder what their life is like. I wonder what they're going through. We have a sign-up sheet in the lobby as you leave. We're looking for help at the fair. We've got a tent where we're going to go do painting and handing out water and just canvassing, as it were. We're all in concert of all of these Christian organizations that have tents at the fair. But what if we have a great opportunity to put this into practice? When you're at the tent, when you're at the fair, you have a mass of humanity. Can you imagine what Jesus would be like at the Morrow County Fair? Would he not have the time of his life? Would it not be such a thrill to run around with Jesus at the Morrow County Fair? You now have that opportunity when you go, whether you're going to be part of the tent ministry or whether you're just going to check out the animals or the scary rides. Observe. Listen. If you get the opportunity, to engage with someone as you're handing out the bottled water. Listen. What are they saying? What are they looking for? There's an example from Jesus as we talk about the art of listening. In Mark's gospel, my favorite story of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I love Mark the most. He has the story of a woman who has been dealing with a medical condition for a long time, and she's just gone to physician after physician, and it hasn't gotten any better. And she thinks, if I just touch the fabric of this man's clothing. We read in Mark 5:33, this woman, knowing what had happened to her, that she had been healed, something had gone on. Jesus says, wait, who touched me? What's going on? And if you read Mark chapter 5, it's funny because Jesus says, wait a minute, who touched me? And his disciples are like, Jesus, we've got like thousands of people around you and you're wondering who touched you. I mean, everybody's touching you. We're at the Morrow County Fair here. Everybody's going to be body to body. The woman comes, falls at Jesus' feet, trembling with fear. Why? Trembling with fear, she tells Jesus the entire story, the whole truth. And Jesus listens. Jesus allows this woman to tell the whole story. Some of us may find listening to be difficult because we've been trained from an early age to have an immediate solution. In math class, in Sunday school, we're supposed to hear a question and then immediately give a response. And one of the jokes that I tell all the time is, you know, in Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher asks the question, what's brown, what has a fuzzy tail, and climbs trees? And immediately all these hands raise, go up, and she asks young Billy, Billy, you have the answer? Jesus? No. Yeah, Andy, what's your, my parents? No. We've all been trained. We got to give the immediate answer to questions. You know, in math class, I hate math class. But we were taught and trained. The teacher writes the problem on the board. What is the answer? And you have to give a response. Did anyone have to go to the blackboard and solve the problem? And it was just so nerve-wracking because you knew, I don't know the answer to this. We've been trained from an early age, if there's a question, you have to have the response immediately. Maybe we think we know the answer to our friend's situation. A friend or a loved one comes to you with a circumstance or what they're struggling with, and we think we know the answer. Oh, just let go and let God. Or we give some cliched churchianity kind of response. But sometimes people don't want us to give them the answer. Sometimes people just want us to hear their story. Let me tell you the whole truth. Let me tell you what's been going on. I know you think you can fix it, but I don't want you to. Sometimes when we want to tell someone what we know without understanding where they are coming from, we find ourselves dealing with a combative attitude, or these defensive walls come immediately up when we try to insert things into someone just pouring out hurt or questions. Jesus refers to that as casting pearls before swine. You've got this great information to give them, but you know what? They're not ready for it. They don't want it right now. They're not in that mindset to receive it. So first, listen. Where are they? What are they dealing with? Allowing someone else to speak and giving them the floor, hearing the whole truth. Just tell me what's going on. Where the goal is to learn about them without trying to solve anything can soften hearts. When people know that you're willing to simply listen and not insert a quick fix or a swift statement of judgment. How many of us, full disclosure and complete transparency, knowing that some of you are sitting next to your spouse, how many of us sometimes wish that your spouse would just listen to you, where they wouldn't try to fix it? Right? It's getting a little uncomfortable, right? Like, doggone, man. How many of us, it would be a breath of fresh air if your friend, your BFF, your spouse, your parent, your in-laws would simply hear what you have to say and say, that sounds incredibly difficult. Or, man, I don't know, that sounds fantastic. Just listen. Any of us? Maybe that starts a conversation on the way home from church today. Would you just listen? Not like that. Lovingly, Jesus way. If you struggle with just listening, if you're like me, and I got the double whammy here because I'm a guy and I'm also a pastor, so I've got this shotgun need to fix things when I hear of a problem, because for whatever reason I think I can. If you struggle with just listening and not trying to insert your so wonderful advice, something that you can do when the person is speaking to you, pouring out just how horrible their day was or how fantastic their day was, as they're talking, you can respond once they take a breath. Do you want me to say anything, or would you like me just to hear it? That may sound goofy to some of you who don't like to listen, but it can go a long way if you do that. Is this an instance where you just want me to listen and be an ear, or would you like me to respond? Do you just need to talk this out? Because if you just want to talk this out, that helps me tremendously, so that I don't have to try to figure out, okay, what buttons do I push and how can I solve this? Listening is hard because we have potential distractions rushing into our ears every 50,000th of a second, just blazing through our ears. And the pathways in our brains are just so eager to suck up additional information. That's how we're made, just to provide more input, more input. And so listening can be difficult. As I've shared at the beginning of this series, this conversation about sharing our faith and noticing and praying and listening, man, this convicts me so hard because I struggle with this. If I've got a crowd of people around me and someone's speaking, my ears are listening to what's going on over here as if I think that's more important than what's right in front of me. Has anybody else been there? So in this digital information overload world, what will help us listen? What will help equip us? What can I share first to myself and then to you? How can we better listen when it comes to sharing our faith, talking about our church, sharing this wonderful news about Jesus? What will help us in this way? And these three things that I'm going to give you this morning, they're not rocket science, but the first thing, if you want to take notes, listen with your face. This nonverbal apparatus that sits on top of your body is a key tool to listening. What do I mean by that? You look at examples of Jesus, you maintain eye contact. When someone is speaking, they should be the most important thing going on with you at that moment. You're focused on them. I don't really know how it feels to people when they're talking to me and I'm looking around like this. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. That's gotta be so demeaning. It's like, I'm right here. So with your face, maintain eye contact. For some of us, that can get uncomfortable because you are looking into someone's eyes. I can remember doing these relationship games with your significant other, and you're supposed to spend a few minutes just look into each other's eyes. Have you ever done that? Exercise number two on your way home from, actually, once you get home, don't do it while you're driving home because you have to pay attention to the road. When you get home, if you have a significant other, look into their eyes. How long can you do that? It kind of freaks some people out because there's a depth there, because there's something going on behind those eyes. So maintain eye contact. Tilt your face toward the person. These are all nonverbal things that you can do with your face to signify, I'm listening to you. I am fully engaged with what you are saying. Position yourself to convey full attention. Jesus turned. In Matthew's telling of this story, of the woman who was dealing with this medical condition, and she touched Jesus' cloak, when she came to Jesus, Matthew's gospel says that Jesus turned to her. His entire body, face, eye contact, it was her. And what's fascinating about this, if you read the story, the surrounding context of this occurrence, Jesus was on his way to someone who may have died or maybe on the verge of dying. I mean, this is pretty important. Jesus, you got to save someone from dying. There was a full distraction, and all of a sudden this person's here, and Jesus takes the time. I'm focused on this interruption because this is important. This kind of goes in with the importance of interruptions that we talked about before. So we listen with our face, this apparatus. The second thing that will help us in our listening is we listen with our focus. By that I mean you avoid distractions when you listen. Again, something that I do that I, with God's help, hopefully he'll start to shave this off. Do not interrupt or interject while they're speaking. How many of us do that? How many of us want to get to our solution, or we just love talking so much that we want, okay, now it's my turn to talk, that we try to finish their sentences for them? You're taking too long. It's my turn to talk. Let me just help you along here. If we listen with our focus, we allow them to talk, however long it takes them to get it out, because it's possible what they want to share is incredibly difficult. And if we think we can fix it by interrupting and by just getting on with it, we've destroyed the entire opportunity. Pay attention to the clues that may reveal a deeper question. Is there more going on that is driving the question? An example of this is when a group of people got together. They just wanted to talk about Bible. They met in a dorm room and they're like, you know what, let's just bring your questions and let's just talk about Bible. And someone asked, does God send people to hell? And the people's response, because they were like, oh, this is great, and they just went into theology and Bible verses and all this, declaring all these things. And what they failed to realize was this person who had asked this question had lost both of her parents to cancer. And so she's dealing with this pain. She's dealing with this hurt. And so there's more to the question than just the question. And if they would just have listened, why are you asking this question? What may be going on? What's the reason for this question? Might provide a better way, insight into how you answer certain questions. So with your face, with your focus, and third, listen with your feelings. Some of us may find it hard to get outside of our own frame of reference. Well, this is what I would do in this circumstance, and this is how I think it should be done. And sometimes our knee-jerk reaction is to fix it. If someone shares a hurt or a pain or a struggle that they go on, our knee-jerk reaction is get out of that situation. Let's get away from these emotions, away from this hurt, because well-intentioned, we don't want people to hurt. We don't want people to suffer. We don't want people to cry. We don't want these bad things happening. And so our knee-jerk reaction is let's get away from these emotions as fast as possible. Let's get away from this situation. And so we try to just fix it as soon as we can because we don't like discomfort. We want to lead the conversation to a better emotional state of being. And so we try to just steer it away. But what if we just take the time to try to understand where that person is? Some statements that can help us. They can help me. And if you struggle with listening, some of these statements that you can say, instead of trying to fix it, instead of the first thing that comes out of your mouth, a solution, try saying this. So if I'm hearing you right, reflect it back, signifying that you are listening. It seems to me that you're saying this. Is that correct? Allow them to reiterate. Oh, you are listening. Yes. Let me see if I'm tracking with you. Just multiple ways of saying, here's what I've heard you say. Is that correct? This also, by the way, if I could offer some marital advice, this also helps in marriage conversations. When a spouse says something to you, instead of immediately giving a reaction response, say, this is what it sounds like you're saying. Is that true or am I way off base? Allow the other person to solidify or correct what you hear. So many misunderstandings could be fixed, corrected, if you allow that to happen. It sounds like you're really angry that I didn't take out the trash. Are you really angry? It sounds like you want me to wash more dishes than just mine. Is that true? The art of listening. As we come to sharing our faith, talking about Jesus in this world where you have so many different opinions, so many different thoughts of who Jesus is, what church is all about, and what a Christian is to be, allow yourself to just wait, notice them, pray for them, and then listen. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Will you stand with me as we pray? I hope you're praying for direction and guidance in the people that God has placed in your day-to-day life, the people that you notice, that you're beginning to notice, and you're praying for them. And when you begin to have these conversations, God is going to give you the ability, the patience to just listen, to say right now, I have to get to this, but for right now, I'm focusing right here on what you need. And it may not be an answer. I don't have an answer. I don't want to give you an answer. I just want to listen and let you know you can share whatever. If you're here this morning and that is a struggle, listening, as we pray, pray that God would break down your need to fix it. That we would become more like Christ in our ability to listen and say, take the time you need and share what you want. If you're here this morning and this is the first time you've heard about this Jesus who listens, believe that he doesn't stop. And his solution is forgiveness of sins, salvation to anyone who proclaims that. Jesus, I need you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son Jesus came and he listened and he taught and he revealed the kingdom of God. As we are entering into this new school year, We think of all the boys and the girls that have already begun class, all those who will be beginning class after the fair. Father, we pray for each one of them as their faces that we saw up here and those within our community as they come into our minds. We pray for them specifically, individually, that they would have such a tremendous time at school. Not only with their learning, not only with their relationships and growing, but Father, that they would know who you are and they would bring the kingdom of God into their classrooms. For the teachers who profess you, may they bring you into their classrooms every day, praying for their students, praying for their parents, for their grandparents. Lord, as we gear up for this fair, it provides us a prime opportunity to do these acts of sharing our faith. May we not miss an opportunity to partner with you as you are actively redeeming this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Two questions before you leave. What are you going to do with what we talked about today? And who are you going to share what you learned today? We love you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.